The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio.
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
Welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors.
Johnny boy.
Yes, John.
Jonathan.
Yes, John.
John Nathan.
Yeah. My mom named me John. If she's listening right now, she's getting really triggered. And she's going to start calling in the show and start cussing somebody out.
I don't want to mess with anybody's mother.
Yeah, don't mess with my mom, man.
This is really funny. Crazy.
Tommy, are you going with Johnny Boy or Jonathan?
I'm going to go with John.
Thank you, Tommy.
I don't want anyone's mom mad at me.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Or anybody, to say. Or two people quitting within 6 weeks of each other. Man, I don't want either one of those things.
And I don't need to end up quitting because of my mom. I don't want to go down that route in my career. But appreciate everybody listening in. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today.
The funny thing is we had a meeting after the show and we're sitting around and you called him Johnny Boy or Jonathan or something.
He called me Jonathan.
And
Jonathan.
You quickly corrected him. And then from then on, you've been picking at that like a scab, which has been funny to watch.
I don't understand why he's picking on me because, like, I know Johnny Boy is not his name. And I heard somebody call him that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Three long years.
Listen. Listen, that's how you were because I don't think we knew each other. Oh, we had a few run-ins.
Yeah.
But
I was like, who's that guy wearing that backwards hat in the press conferences? It's Chris Rowe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I was introduced to you as Johnny Boy.
With the sleeveless shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how, and I was and like, so.
I wanted to be like, well, who, this player, he's the walk-on that didn't get the dress out today, so he has to sit up in the press section. It's like, that's what I was wondering about.
With the hat backwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. That's how the world was introduced. And you let somebody that you didn't even like call you Johnny Boy, and I think we're halfway friends.
Well, yeah.
I can't call you Jonathan?
Yeah, okay, well, that was something. Okay, first off, it was my boss at the time. And how many times are you going to tell your boss, hey, stop, don't do that anymore? It happens
every day around here.
It's a daily
occurrence in this building.
As a kid that was trying to get started in the business and, you know, up and coming, it was a college kid. I wasn't really trying to rock the boat based off of my name. So that's the one.
This whole industry was built on rocking the boat. That's what radio was founded on, was particularly talk radio.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's true. But yeah,
we're boat rockers. Yeah. You know,
I will stick with the name John. It's clean. It's easy. It's quick. We'll call it good on that. So. But either way, good. Thank you for calling it out, though, because I was wondering how long it was going to take him to actually mention it on the show.
5 seconds.
Yeah. And it didn't even take you 5 seconds. If the mic was on during the intro, it would have made it. So, but appreciate everybody.
We could sneak in there and make a new intro for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or maybe even next hour.
Now, that would mean Nick would have to stay late and, you know, fix the intro.
No, that's not going to happen.
Overtime with Nick Mason.
Is that going to be your new show? Overtime with Nick Mason. Mm-hmm.
The fourth hour of the Morning Rush.
Mm. I'm sure people are waiting with bating breath to listen to that.
That would be the biggest irony. It wouldn't be coincidence. It'd have to be irony. Anything that would be called Overtime with Nick Mason would have to be, that would be irony. That would be irony.
Yeah, because the only overtime that Nick was probably ever a part of was actually in a basketball game, and it was not by choice. He was probably looking at his watch, man, like,
hey,
man,
you know, and I was ready to go those games, too.
Yep. Oh, I bet.
You are exactly right. I'm looking at the NCAA like, come on now. Y'all told me 40 minutes.
Yeah. not 45.
Yeah, not 40 45, minutes. 40.
I got stuff to do, so. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot about spring football today. We're also going to be catching up with Sam Vecini, who writes for The Athletic. Talked to him a little bit about Daniel Gafford as he had a write-up about him and his decision to return to the University of Arkansas, as well as some NCAA tournament talk. We'll get into that. And we're doing What's Your Beef Wednesday, too, which I know I enjoy having a segment like that. It's almost like a vent session or
like a vent show.
Yeah, pretty much. So if you or if anyone you know that has a great story or anything that you want to get out there and vent about, What's Your Beef Wednesday? You can just call it in, put up on Twitter, however you want to do it.
And it works best when we get audience participation.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do it to one of two ways, via Twitter. We get a few emails, but that's really even old school now. I mean, it used to be like the way you communicate with the show 10 years ago, years ago. But
on America Online.
You'd send us an email. Occasionally we'll get a fax, once a year or something.
Smoke signals.
But, you can tweet at us with your beef or you could call. That seems to work better, and it doesn't have to necessarily be about sports.
No. In fact, it's like sometimes a lot more fun when it's not.
I think it's better when it's not about sports.
That's right. So if you have anything going on like that, you can tweet at us at Morning Rush Show or you can call in 877-377-6963 to get your voice heard. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. And have any type of vent, and a lot of different vent sessions with that. The Hog baseball team actually won yesterday, and a tight one. My goodness, it never comes easy for Razorback athletics. I can tell you that.
No, but they got the timely hit they needed.
That's right.
And it seems like the one thing, what's been Van Horn's beef? Timely hits, at least. And it seems like the one button he'll push, the one complaint he's got to have, the one thing he'll preach to his team, then they come out and immediately respond. At least in that category. At least that's kind of an early trend. I don't know that you can say this is the way this team is. That's still kind of early to be saying that, even though we're starting to get a few weeks into conference play. But they had trouble getting the timely hit on Sunday. I'm sure that they got the sermon from on high about that in the last few days. And in a game where they didn't have stellar pitching, in a game where they got off on the wrong foot, in a game where the first few innings didn't go well, they had a wild pitch, they had some overthrow, they had some horrible self-inflicted errors early in the game.
Rendell was struggling mightily in the beginning.
They had some struggles but they got the timely hit.
Mm-hmm.
That was the problem Sunday that kept them from winning what I think might be a difference-making series later on in the year. And what I mean by that is could be the difference in a national seed, not a national seed top eight. Could be a difference in being the number three national versus the number eight. That Sunday game, mark my words, will have a huge bearing on something later on down the line. Just will. And this series this weekend, playing, number four Ole Miss, I believe they are? Same thing. So, timely hit last night proved to be the difference.
They're going to have a better effort in against Ole Miss than what they have. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that it was a poor effort, but they got to work on some things, and they can't have a performance like they did last night and expect to win.
You expect more out of these midweek games. I mean, we saw struggle last week in the one game they ended up getting to play with Charlotte, lost that game, and they get out by the skin of their teeth, in Memphis.
And, you only get so many chances in any sport. And at the end of the year, going back to what you're talking about, Tommy, at the end of the year, you're always like, man, if we just had one big series, if you just had one more big basketball game or another good football team that you could beat heading into the end of the year whenever the committees are deciding, okay, who's going to host? What's your national seed going to be? And at that point, you're going to look back on some of these series and say, man, if we didn't take care of business in one or two more games, then it could have been the difference in you hosting or you having to travel.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't get very many. Now, maybe you do in this league because of the difficulty. Right. You just don't get many chances to beat the number two team in the country at their place on the road and take the series.
Yeah.
And they had a chance. And it would have really put a lot of salve over that 17-2
beating.
whooping they took on Saturday.
Yeah. No, it would have changed the outlook on everything.
I didn't want to say butt whooping because that doesn't
justify it.
It's too early in the show to start using the other word.
Yeah, give it time. Maybe.
But
if you
win that series and you get that hit in the eighth or ninth that puts you over the top, no one remembers that yoo-hoo whooping you took on Saturday.
No. In fact, it's not, no one remembers it, period. And that's what's so great
about
it.
Now you do.
Yeah, exactly.
I even remember the score.
You brought it up. Yeah. Because if Arkansas wins that series, it's
all
it's
you
not,
all you remember is they won the series.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Number two,
it's
big never, number two. Yeah, big number two.
Never about that no. second game. It's always about winning the series.
But
so.
You know that that's what Van Horn's been preaching because that's just the way he is.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been preaching about time. They got that done last night. So
yeah. So give him credit on that. And they won the game. So
they won
that,
the game.
That's important, too. But there is some things that you see that, especially with the start that they had where, of course, Jake Rendell was struggling. You got to say, okay, and this that get that out of your system in a game like this. That won't work against Ole Miss later in the year. That won't work against Auburn later in the year. That won't work in at any point in time in the SEC, no matter who you're playing,
work
pretty much.
Ole Miss later this week.
Yes, exactly. So you can't have that type of performance and expect to get out of there with a victory. So they got some stuff to shore up. They're looking a little schizo now, little things going on there, but I feel like as Dave Van Horn's teams have showed, they usually get it together.
But, you know, and we're kind of figuring this team out as we go, but listening to Dave, and I mean, that's where we take a lot of our cues is listening to him. He knows his team. They're not even at full strength yet. I mean, we heard him Monday talk, and you can listen to what he had to say at hitthatline.com. They're, you know, when they get fully healthy, if they ever get fully healthy, and you know, because once you get some guys back, do you have any other injuries to go along with that would keep you from being 100%? But if they ever get all their pitchers 100% where he's got all of his options, all of his arms ready to go, how good can this team be? You know, and now's not the time to be peaking. You don't want to be peaking late March, early April. You know, you're a month and a half from wanting to be playing your best baseball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and they got time and they got opportunities, and again, they won.
But you see the potential for them to be playing much better down the road when they're healthy. You see why they're not playing maybe at their best, and they're still pretty damn good right now. Top 10 baseball team.
And rightfully 10 top 10 baseball
exactly.
team.
Exactly. And proving it on the field by competing well. I know they didn't win the series at Florida, but they were, other than Saturday, they had a pretty dominating win on Friday. They got dominated even more on Saturday and right there on Sunday. They dominated Kentucky, who was a top five team, and now they get a chance to prove it again this weekend. So you just got to keep proving yourself.
And if they go in against Ole Miss on the road and they win the series, it doesn't completely erase the Florida loss, but it at least shows you, okay, you know, they can get it together. They're not just this team that can't, for whatever reason, go away from Bomb Stadium and just lay an egg. You know, they can get it done, and that's also going to be important.
Last point here, they've become a team also that, it's a big deal for Florida. It's a big deal for Ole Miss if they win the series over Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that either.
Yeah,
it's a dadgum big deal for Florida to have a series win over Arkansas on their resume. And Ole Miss is thinking the same thing. And Kentucky's saying, well, losing Arkansas isn't as bad as you think. They're, you know, look where their RPI is going to be. Look where they're at in the polls. So Arkansas has become the kind of team that you want to beat, and it's not as bad when you lose to them either. So.
Yeah, and you're looking at a situation where it seems like every time Arkansas has an SEC series, it'll be like, oh, number four this team, number six this team. It's going to be top 10, top 15 matchups pretty much the entire year for Arkansas in the SEC. So it's going to be a brutal stretch, but Arkansas is a good enough team to win a lot of these games. It's going to be huge for their seeding and possible hosting regionals once postseason comes around. All right, it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Call in 877-377-6963 to give us your thoughts and opinions. You can also get after us on Twitter at Morning Rush Show. We're going to get to that and a lot more on the other side. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. It is time for our on-the-spot question of the day, presented by Washington Regional,
where world-class stroke care is available in Northwest Arkansas at Washington Regional. Getting that immediate medical attention is the crucial part. Sudden weakness, numbness, or problems with walking or speech are all possible signs of a stroke. Call 911, then get to Washington Regional. Proud to be the first hospital in Benton, Boone, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties to have advanced certification as a primary stroke center. Learn more online about Washington Regional and how they can provide you with world-class stroke care at WRegional.com.
And that question would be, is since we went back to the beginning of the show, we were discussing the spring game being in Little Rock, War Memorial Stadium. I believe that if the weather is decent enough to go outside, then there will be over 30,000 people at War Memorial for the spring game. Nick believes I am crazy, I am drunk, I am high, all the above, whatever, that there will not be 30,000 people. There will be less than that for the spring game at War Memorial.
So you think more than the stadium will be more than half full?
I think it'll be more than half full.
Which means
it'll be more than half drunk, too, but it'll be more than half full.
That means pretty much both sidelines will be full. The problem with this will be, if it's close to that, the university is going to announce a larger number than 30. And this is where the debate, this is where the argument will unfold on Monday the, 9th, when we get back in here, is, was there truly 30? Because it could be arguable.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be one of those things that if it ends up being 28,005, they're going to find another 2,500 people somewhere to make it to that nice round number, 30,000.
And I consider that to be 30,000.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're not sitting out there.
You're saying it ain't going to be close
count,
to
and we're going
to
count each individual, one, two, three, all the way around. But no, I just don't see.
It's an estimate anyway. There's no scanning of tickets and all of that anyway.
Right.
No. Well, we'll have a bigger crowd that day. Oakland with its next to last weekend, or the spring game if it's a nice weather day. Because Oakland's still a great draw, and you're running out of time. At the end of the day, it's a spring football practice.
How many people go to Oakland, though?
Well, I remember one of the largest attended spring games they had when Nutt was here, and they had a legitimate 40-plus thousand there, had one of the largest attended Arkansas Derby's the same day. And they try to avoid having the Derby and the spring game in the same day, but you had well over 100,000 people attending either the spring game or the Derby. But now, if it's a routine Saturday, 25 to 40,000, depending on what kind of race. If it's a Derby day, that number could be certainly larger than 50,000, could be 70,000.
Well, I think you answered your own question right there.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And then with the baseball series going on against Auburn in Fayetteville, there's going to be three pretty big events going on that weekend for fans to decide, all right, is it going to be maybe a regional thing? If you're closer to Hot Springs, you're going to go to that. Closer to Little Rock, going to go to that. Closer to Fayetteville, going to that. Or are you going to choose what you're going to want to watch? I mean,
25,000 on a weekend, I think, is not uncommon.
No. I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
At Oakland.
And also, going back to War Memorial in the spring game, since this is the first year, at least in a very long time, that they've had the spring game there, it's going to be on television. It's going to be on the SEC network. How many people will just rather watch it on television, for one? And two, how is War Memorial and the staff they're going to handle it? Is it going to be like a big Razor Fest type of event where they have other stuff going on? There's other booths, there's fun things, there's autographs. Or is it going to be show up, drink beer, go to the game, and leave?
The question is, just like in the regular season, just like when you have a game down there, will people from Benton County, Washington County, Crawford, and Sebastian counties drive all the way to Little Rock to watch that game? Yeah. Because Little Rock and Pulaski County so far has not shown that they're going to come out. I don't trust that there would be 30,000, what is there? There's in excess of 600,000-700,000 people that live in just in that metro area. It's closer to a million people if you get that circle out large enough, out past Conway, down past Benton and Bryant, up north past Jacksonville, out east of the city. There's over a million people within 40 miles of the capital.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't think 35 or 40,000 of that million will show up.
And I'm curious to see, again, we won't know, but how many people from Northwest Arkansas are going to make that drive down to Little Rock just to watch the spring game?
I don't think many.
No. I don't think so either. I mean, there's not many people from Northwest Arkansas in general that go down there for the game, for the real games anyway.
They won't go for the real game. What makes you think they're going to go for a practice?
Yeah.
Unless you really believe over the next 10 days or so, the excitement of Chad Morris. Something's got to happen in the news cycle over the next 10 days to get people ramped up, fired up about what's going on with this football team. So far, what's been talked about, what's been reported on, and I don't know if that's because prior to spring practice, we were all in basketball mode, but now that basketball's over, we've turned the page, and it's the page we've turned to spring football or baseball. I think more people have turned to the baseball page than they've turned to the spring football page. We've turned off the basketball page. Which page did you turn to in your book of attention? Because we have proven we're a state that can't pay attention to two things at once. We know that.
Yeah.
So are we paying attention to baseball or are we paying attention to spring football right now?
I think baseball, as of right now, has the attention.
What has to happen in the next 10 days with this football program? What news has to come out of practice that gets you, that grabs your attention to the point that I've got to go see this game? Or if nothing else, I'm making an appointment just to watch the game. Because I don't know very many people just fired up to even watch it at this point.
And I don't really know enough about Chad Morse at this point. So maybe he's trying to play it down to where he doesn't want a lot. Maybe he's just trying to play it close to the chest. Is that how it goes? Yeah. Where he doesn't want, you know, saying this guy's going to be great. This guy's going to be doing this. We're going to run this. We're going to do that. We're going to make. Maybe he's liking to keep it a little low key compared to the previous
guy.
It's
a great unknown for him, too, going into spring.
I know.
You don't want to overhype the unknown either if you're in his shoes. I think it will get exciting. I don't know if it'll turn into 30 or 40,000 people there, but I do think there is some pinned-up excitement that will build. Now, to what degree that is, I don't know, but that will happen over the next week and a half or so.
And people not going to the spring game, though, that doesn't mean that they don't support the hire.
No, nothing like that.
Because it would be... There's a difference in you hiring Chad Morris and then you have the spring game a week later, or you hiring Chad Morris 3 months ago and then having the spring game. So just with there being a new coach at this point, that's just not enough in my mind to put 30,000 people in there for a spring practice.
Mm. Now, if this game was in Fayetteville at Razorback Stadium, I think that there would be lucky to be 15, 20,000. And the only reason I'm counting on there to be more in Little Rock is, again, just because it hasn't been in Little Rock in a long time. People can go out and tailgate. They can go out and drink. They'll be on the golf course. It's a big metro area. They don't have the choice of going to the baseball game because it's not like just a hop, skip, and a jump across the street. I just feel like the event itself, not just the team, not just the coach, not just the glorified practice, just the event itself will draw people in.
Well, if Central Arkansas wants to continue to make the case that games should continue to be played there and make that case to the current board, to the new AD, to the new head coach, shouldn't you show up in a big number for this opportunity? And when I say a big number, I think 30 to 40,000 is a big number. I'm not asking you to fill the stadium up. I'm not asking you to have standing room only. Shouldn't you make a showing? Shouldn't you exceed expectations? You know, and I'm with you. If the weather's good, if it's pouring, if it's like it is today in most of the state,
there won't be many people.
I don't expect much.
No.
But if it's sunny and 75, there should be a good crowd there.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, that doesn't make much of a case for Central Arkansas to continue to host games at War Memorial Stadium.
And I'm wondering if the people in Central Arkansas and the people that advocate for the game, for at least one game to stay in War Memorial, do they understand that? Do they understand that it's almost like a test where it's like, all right, we're going to see.
Do they
care? We're going to sit back here.
No, I think they understand it. Do they care?
Well, they're the ones that are all going on social media, going on message boards, crowing about the fact that it's like, this is outrageous. Why in the world are you taking this game? There's tradition. There's history. Da 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 da.
About a game, though. So it's a little unfair, though, to base their attendance of a practice.
No. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying that because, of course, the Ole Miss game is going to mean a lot more, and you see how the crowd goes. I'm just saying that if people understand that, it's like you want to see how they react to this. Because it's not like Ark, at least they're playing it off this way. They're looking at it as a gift. Here's a gift to you Central Arkansas people. Here's a gift to all of you who have been saying that you think that Jeff Long's taking those games out of Little Rock and just completely isolating all of you. Here's a gift for you. We can't play an additional game other than Ole Miss down there, but we'll give you the spring game. Here you go. And maybe you can enjoy this a little bit. It's not as great as a game, but it's pretty good. And they're going to be sitting back saying, okay, we gave them the gift. We set it up for them. We're going to make it like it's a real game. We're going to give them full rein on what goes on. Let's see how they handle it. Let's see how excited they get. Let's see if they come out and show out and say, you know what? This is great. We are happy. Thank you. This is exciting. We appreciate you doing this for us. That's what the U of A is thinking. But then the guy, people down in Central Arkansas, they're probably thinking the complete opposite. They're like, no, you shouldn't be gifting us. This should be happening already. This isn't a gift. It's not a privilege. It should just be common. It should be part of the norm to have a game. So you're kind of having this tug of war effect where people are having two different opinions on the matter, and I don't think either one of them understands what the other one's thinking.
Probably not, because I don't think the people in Central Arkansas, I don't think that they've even thought about it that much. I think it's just one of those things that you're sending a practice down here, and I think they probably look at it as, well, there weren't the attendance wasn't great in Northwest Arkansas, so you're just going to put it down here. Or for the future, that if you do take a game away from Central Arkansas, then you'll just have that to replace it.
You really don't have two big teams to have a rivalry, but you have two big areas to have a rivalry over the same team when it comes to the great stadium debate and whether or not that game should stay there.
Does your life have a little chaos right now? Maybe that chaos is coming from a divorce or a child or custody matter. Maybe you're dealing with DHS on a matter and you need some help. You need some advice. You don't know who to turn to. I would suggest the Kevin Hickey Law Team. They're made up of experienced, caring individuals centered around divorce, child and custody matters, and they know how to deal with matters when it comes to DHS. They serve families in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. They have offices in both locations, Fort Smith and in Northwest Arkansas, and they can help you with the right decisions. The Kevin Hickey Law Team is there for you, kevinhickeylaw.com, to make an appointment and to get it with Kevin and one of his caring professionals to help you. 479-434-2414 in the River Valley, and in Northwest Arkansas, 479-802-6560. Those phone numbers are on his website as well. If you're driving, can't write those down, kevinhickeylaw.com, when you get a moment to get there. They know what you're going through, and at the Kevin Hickey Law Team, they're experienced, they're caring, and they have your best interest in mind. Divorce, child in custody, and DHS is where they specialize. KevinHickeyLaw.com. Kevin Hickey Law, that's where their clients are their main priority from start to finish.
Coming up next, the last segment of the day and some stories that I want to relay to you. You don't want to miss it. This is The Morning Rush.
The voice of Razorback fans across our...
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. We're going to be catching up with Sam Bassini of The Athletic in just a few moments. But first, this from Williams Tractor.
Yeah, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. Buy now and save on the New Holland equipment you need from Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Rogers. 0% financing, plus you get cash back on New Holland tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. Get all the details on this limited-time offer at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers today and see how much you can save.
Right now, let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in Sam Bassini, senior writer of The Athletic, covering college basketball, NBA draft, basically the jack of all trades. We're going to talk to him about Daniel Gafford in the NCAA tournament. Sam, really appreciate you joining us. How are you doing today, man?
I am doing well. How's it going?
It's going well if we can just keep dry out here. It's been raining the past few days, and it's going to continue to rain, so hopefully it doesn't put too much a damper on the week. But it's going really well, and there's been a lot of excitement here in the state of Arkansas with the announcement of Daniel Gafford returning for his sophomore year. Now, it's not necessarily surprising to see a kid come back, but it may be a little surprising in the fact that he didn't even declare. He didn't even go to the combine, didn't even test the waters, didn't do any of that stuff. And yet he's returning. When you heard about Gafford making that decision, what was your immediate reaction and thought?
I mean, I'm always pretty surprised, I would say, whenever guys who most people consider to be top 20 picks return to college, I would say. I mean, Gafford is a player who really came on throughout the course of the college basketball season. He seemed to get better every single time that you would watch him, and that's a really great sign. Exactly what NBA teams are looking for. But for a lot of kids that, you know, kind of come up, I don't want to say Gafford came out of nowhere. He was a consensus top 40 recruit in his class. You know, someone who Arkansas fans have known for a long time, was a very, very good prospect. I think everyone in the basketball world knew he was a great prospect, but he didn't necessarily come into college thinking of himself as a one and done, I'm sure. And I think it's hard for a lot of players to pivot on a, you know, immediate whim whenever their season ends and they have such a short window here to make their decision about what they're going to do with the NBA. So is it surprising? Yeah, it's a little bit surprising just because most kids in his situation don't end up returning, but I can at least understand it at the same time.
What is it about his game that had NBA draft scouts really look at him? Because at least the places I looked, and I know you wrote about it too, a lot of people had him being a first-round pick, which I know, you know what you said is he didn't exactly come out of nowhere, but at the same time, to have that type of attention given to you as a kid so young like Daniel Gafford, knowing that you would probably be a first-round pick, to stay in school is pretty impressive. But what is it about him and his ability that had all the NBA scouts giving him that type of grade?
So I would say he is an unbelievable athlete. I think that stands out every time you watch him on the floor. Great shot blocker. Obviously a great rim runner, screen setter. And that's exactly the kind of player that NBA teams are looking for at the center position right now. So that's what you're looking at whenever you look at a guy like Daniel Gafford. You're looking at kind of the modern prototypical NBA center with NBA athleticism, NBA measurements. Certainly needs to put on a little bit of weight and strength, but that's something he did throughout the course of the college basketball season, it seemed like. And then you throw in the fact that over the course of January, February, even a little bit into March, he was knocking down the occasional 18-footer. He had shown this incredible ability to knock down these little floaters in the mid lane. His leaping ability puts him far above the basket. He rebounds outside of his area as well, especially on the offensive end. So those are all skills that are intriguing from an NBA perspective, and I think that he had a decent chance to have his name called in the lottery by the time things were done, in the way that the pre-draft process goes, especially for guys like him. So, anytime that happens, it's a surprise, but he'll need to come back to Arkansas next year and continue to add to his game. And from everything I've been told, the kid is like a sponge. He continues to add things every single time that the coaching staff looks at him, every single week that he steps onto the floor. So that's a great sign for him going forward.
Speaking with Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, covering college basketball right now on The Morning Rush. Sam, it seems like with different kids, obviously different kids have different situations, but a kid in Gafford's situation, it comes down to the decision. Okay, do you want to spend the next year by getting better, maybe going to the D League, maybe going overseas if you're not being able to get drafted right away, maybe work with some professional developers and whatnot, or come back to college, where some people will say that college basketball doesn't have the same support system, doesn't have the same elements, doesn't have the same type of coaches that'll be able to help him and push him into the NBA. How do you balance that out? And do you feel like the going back to college can still serve him very well as far as developing his game compared to going and trying to find other coaches from other areas that are not in college to be able to develop that way?
Well, to me, it's just all about being where you're comfortable more than anything. Having comfort and having a personal hunger to get better, and having a level to where you actually want to work on your game and improve. That is the most important thing first and foremost, I would say. But also, having a place where you feel comfortable and your development is fostered is probably the second most important thing. And in terms of whether or not it's better to be in college or be in the NBA, every player is different. Every player, depending on your maturity level, depending on your self starting ability and your ability to get out of bed and go to the gym when you have to on your own, and not having a scheduled practice in the summer that you have to get out of bed for, you know, every little thing like that, it's all about just the person involved. And in Gafford's case, he is someone who felt a little bit better about having that support system in place that you have in college, makes a lot of sense that he would stay. If he's someone who is a self-starter and was willing to go the extra mile whenever he's going to be paying for trainers and paying for everything involved, or an agency would have been paying for trainers, I get that too. It's hit or miss depending on, you know, what you're talking about. Six of one half dozen of the other, or whatever that saying is. It's just all dependent on the kid involved.
Let's speak about Arkansas right now specifically and Mike Anderson. They made it back to the NCAA tournament as their second time in a row, third time out of 4 years. Had an early exit, though. Fans were pretty disappointed with them losing to Butler, seeing how much talent they had, especially in the way that they lost. But as we've seen in this NCAA tournament, anything's possible with the way it plays out. Just from what you've seen, Mike Anderson in his 7 years at Arkansas, the job he's done, the type of coach he is, and what the future holds for Arkansas basketball, can they get better? Can they be one of those teams that make it to the second weekend or maybe advance far enough, like a South Carolina run to the Final Four? Just overall, what are your thoughts on Mike Anderson and the job he's done?
Yeah, I think he's done fine. He's made the NCAA tournament 3 out of 4 years now. That's a pretty solid sign. They were relatively close last year to beating a North Carolina team that ended up going to the championship. They've made the second round in 2 of those 4 years. That's also a good sign. Now, next season, even with Gafford back, there is still going to be a bit of a adjustment to what's happening on the roster, assuming that there is no graduate transfer who comes in immediately and totally changes their fortune, right? You lose Jalen Barford, you lose Daryl Macon, you're losing a lot of your offense. And then in addition, you're also losing Anton Beard and Trey Thompson. You know, you're losing all of these senior players who helped you over the course of the last couple of years here in Barford and Macon's case. So I look at next year as probably being a slightly worse year, even though they have a very good recruiting class that is very deep coming in next year. But at the same time, Mike Anderson has at least shown the ability in what has been a pretty tough developing SEC to get Arkansas to where they're competing for, second weekend berths and competing for SEC titles as they were relatively close to last season. I believe that they were 12-6 in the SEC last year. Mm-hmm. This year they were somewhere in that like middle tier, right at 10-8. Right. They're right on the cusp, I would say. And then from there he has to prove that he's the right man for the job. But I wouldn't be looking at a coaching change or anything like that either.
Sam, speaking on the NCAA tournament, we got the Final Four set. Kansas being in it, not necessarily a surprise. Villanova, definitely not a surprise. Michigan, okay, maybe a little bit, but still a 3 seed, still a good team. But the biggest surprise is Loyola Chicago and the run that they've gone on. What do you think about the field of four that is left? Who do you favor to win it? And do you think Loyola Chicago can really pull this off and continue this run that they're on? Because I'm hard-pressed to bet against them right now, and them and Sister Jean.
Yeah, I mean, they're 32-5. They're a really good basketball team. Like, I think the craziest thing that's happened is because of the Sister Jean phenomenon that's happened. Like, I don't even know if you would call it a meme or what you would call it, but it's taken away from what is a very good basketball team. You know, Clayton Custer was a guy who was at Iowa State. Dante Ingram was at Simeon Academy with, like, 4 other super high-level players. Ben Richardson has been, like, their 5th or 6th best player throughout the course of the entire season, and was just the West Regional MOP, or not the West Regional, where were they? They were in the South, so the South Regional most outstanding player. So this is a deep team. This is a talented team that can really beat you in a variety of ways. Oh, and they happen to be a top 20 defensive team in the country, too. So I think that they certainly have a chance to beat Michigan. It's going to be a low-possession game, and we get some pretty wild variant outcomes whenever that kind of stuff happens. And against Kansas and Villanova, you know, those are two teams that have occasionally struggled with very methodical, smart offensive basketball teams. And whenever you're a very good defensive team who also shoots 40% from three, that's the formula to creating upset outcomes and to creating potential scenarios where you can move forward in the NCAA tournament. So credit to Porter Mosier, credit to the players, and hopefully we get to see more of Sister Jean going forward here.
Sam Vecenie, senior writer at The Athletic, covering all college basketball as well as the NBA draft. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam_Vecenie. Really appreciate you joining us, man. I know it's definitely a fun time during this time. It's almost coming to an end, sadly. But appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road, my man.
Yep, anytime.
Sounds so interesting, honestly, when you have Daniel Gafford and for getting a national perspective mm-hmm. of him returning to school, knowing that he had a chance to go to the NBA first round pick, or at least go to the combine, to see what how other people think about that, because sometimes it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense of why they would come back to school and not even try the NBA. So it's really interesting to see that perspective as well.
Well, that was a great interview. So, brought to you in part by Gaston's White River Resort. If you're looking for a great place to kick back and unwind, I've got the perfect place for you. That's Gaston's White River Resort. I spent a few days there last weekend, and it is really just an awesome place because they take care of all the details at Gaston's. I was telling you yesterday about the experience with Bob, our fishing guide, because he took care of all the details. He wanted to know what kind of fishing, because there's different ways you can go about trout fishing, whether you're wanting to fish for rainbows and catch a lot of fish, but not necessarily fish for bigger fish, or you want to go out and maybe catch fewer fish, but you're going for larger browns. And we wanted to go catch the bigger browns. Well, he immediately went to work catching sculpins, which is a great bait fish to catch the bigger browns. And the whole point of it was Bob wanted to make sure we had the kind of fishing trip and the kind of experience we wanted. Then he went and he picked out the perfect holes and the perfect places on the White River to put us right on those areas where the browns were most likely. We went several places. The other beautiful part of Gaston's is you get to kind of tour and sightsee up and down the White River there for a several mile stretch. So it's really an awesome place to enjoy nature, to enjoy fishing, and to do something different you probably don't normally do. So if you're into trout fishing or you've never tried it before, Gaston's is the number one place to go do it. Gaston's White River Resort. Details online at Gaston's.com or check them out on Facebook, and you can see a lot of pictures of some of the big trophy browns that have been caught here lately on the White River there at Gaston's. Gaston's White River Resort, a first-class time.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.